Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf nun gimel, and we're going to pick up a Mirsa Shaman to Mishnah, three lines from the bottom on nun beis, on the beis. Okay, so we're continuing through in Perek Ezel Mekamon to talk through the sequence and the structure of the offering of the different offerings, the different karbanos. So today we're going to cover in Mirsa Shem two Mishnayos. So the first one, Chatos Hatzibor Vahayachid. So this is talking about, so we've been dealing with karbanos that there were chatos pnimios, which were chatos offerings that were brought at some level, was brought into the heichal, and done inside on the inner mizbeach. And now we're talking about the remainder of the chatos hatzibor ve'ayachid. Elohim chatos hatzibor, when it references the chatos tzibor, what is it referring to? So obviously the yachid is someone who, why don't we start with that, because that's the classic chatos, is someone who does an avera, whose intentional commission would result in kares, and whose unintentional commission results therefore in a chatos. Now what about a chatos tzibor? So we say, Elohim chatos hatzibor, si'irei roshei chadashim, that when they would bring the sa'ir, they would bring the sa'ir on Rosh Chodesh, v'shalmoados, and on the Yomim Tovim, so on the Gimel Regalim, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we have the added case of the chatas that would come along with the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. All of these, shchitasam batzafon, they get shechted in the north, v'kibol damam v'chisharis batzafon, and that the Kabbalah of their dam happens in the north, and we learned that, as Rashi points out, we learned out binyanav for all chatos in that way. V'damon toin arba matanois al arba kronois, and as we've learned before, a chatos needs to have the dam put on four applications on each of the four corners. So then the question is, Ketzad, how did they do exactly this application of the dam on the four corners? So top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, Ala Bakevesh, the Kohen would go up on the ramp, Upana L'Sovev, and he would go onto the Sovev. So let's just discuss what the Sovev was. We've talked a lot about the Yesod lately. We haven't talked much about the Sovev. So basically, the structure of the Mizbeach was such that you had... The Mizbeach was theoretically 32 amos by 32 amos. We've talked a little bit about the fact that along the south and eastern portions that there was part that didn't have the Yesod. So when we say 32 by 32, it's basically including what would be there if the Yesod went fully around the Mizbeach. And then on top of that 32 by 32 square, which was an amah tall, you basically had something that was 30 by 30 amos, which was a block that went on top of that. So that created the one am on either side. So from 32 goes down to 30 because you have an am on all sides of it. Then that would be 5 amos tall. And then you would have another indentation of an ama, which would take you down to the next block being 28 by 28, and that goes up for 3 amos. So now we're up to, we have the Yesod at 1 amma, we have a block for 5, then 3, so that brings us up to 9. And then you had at the four corners, you had the kronos, you had the things that stuck up on each of the corners of the top of the Mizbeach. But in any event, so if you think about it, you have the Yesod, which we've been talking about the last couple of days, but then basically 6 amos up, you would have you had the sovev, which was the portion that the Kohen used to use to walk around on. So there was a big ramp that led up to the Mizbeach, and on the right side, when you got to 6 amos, it kind of had this, on the far right side, it flattened out and took the Kohen to the sovev that he would be able to walk around the Mizbeach. And Rashi points out on the top, Ala Bekevesh Ufana L'Sovev, he says, V'mpnesha Dama Nitin L'Maila L'Akronos U'Be'atzpa. He says, since the nature of a chatos, different than all these other karbanos we've been talking about, is that you have to put it up on the top, and you have to do it with your finger. So obviously, a Kohen can't stand on the floor and stick his finger to put something on the Keren, which is which is starts at 9 amos above floor level and goes up for an amos. So therefore, uva atzvei needs to do with his finger. So tzarach lamad agabe sovev. So he would have to stand on the sovev. So he says, but everything else, the rest of the karbanos that aren't, that are applied beneath the line, you know, those things, omed ala ritzba v'zorek min hakeli l'mizbeach v'chol makam sheyagi l'mizbeach kasher, because he says any other kind of karbon, obviously other than the olas ha'of, which we haven't gotten to talking about that much yet, which is also above the chuta sikra, but basically the combination of the fact that it had to be put lower and it didn't require application with the finger, you could just throw the blood at it. So for other karbanos, you didn't really need to go up on the mizbeach, but for the chatas, he did. So in any event, the kohen would go up on the ramp, and he would turn off on this like side ramp where it flattens out at six amos, and he would get to the sovei. V'balo lekeren dromus mizrachis. He would first reach the southeastern corner. We're going to talk in the Gemara about why he went this way. Mizrachis tzvonis. So, and basically the way it worked, as we're going to see from the Gemara, is he went, he walked up the ramp. He went forward. He was now, you know, basically the ramp was 16 amos wide on, at that point where it was hitting was 30 by 30. So you'd basically hit the wall of the Mizbeach in front of you. And while he was facing the wall, he would move to his right. He would get to the corner. He would keep moving to his right all of the time facing the centerpiece of the Mizbeach. So in any event, he would start in the southeastern corner. He would get to the northeastern corner. From there, he would continue inching along to his right. He would get to Tzvonis Maravis, to the northwestern corner. Maravis Dromis, he would get to the southwestern corner. Shiare Adam HaYeshofach HaYisod Dromis. And then, obviously, when he finished all four applications of Dam, he should have leftover blood, and he would pour it on the Yisod, on the southern part of the Mizbeach. Now, obviously, the Yisod on the southern part of the Mizbeach was very short, because we've discussed the fact that it's basically beyond the part that came from the western ledge, because one Amma onto the east, and presumably that's where he would spill it. V'nechalem lefnim naklayim. It's eaten inside of the curtains. Rashi raises the question, what kind of curtains were there in the Beis HaMikdash? There weren't any. Rashi says that when there was a Mishkan, the area was delineated by the curtains, and that function was subsequently assumed by the walls of the Azara. But it still referred to them as curtains based on their historical precedent of the times of the Mishkan. Okay, so then these karbanos chatos, who ate them, lezichrei kohuna. So the males, the male kohanim would eat it. Rashi says, dechsiv akoinam chata oso. So we said this pasuk yesterday is the pasuk in Vayikra, Hakoin Amachata Oso Yochlena. So the Kohen who did the sprinkling is the one who would eat it. Laafuke Nashim Shainam Ruyas Lachitoy, because, and women obviously couldn't be the one that did the avoda. So if the karbanas were eaten by the ones who did the avoda, obviously that's a reference only to men. Ubivayikach Korach, Rashi says in Parshas Korach, coming up, Mr. Shem, he says, Gabe Chatos V'Asham Mincha Ksiv Kol Zachar Yochel Oso. That a much more explicit reference, as relates to those three karbanas, it says that any male can eat from it. So we see that it was the Zichrei Kuna. B'chol Machol, Rashi says, what's it coming to tell us? Mishim Dekatani Pesach, Ve'ena Nechol El Atzali, L'kaman Tani B'chulo B'chol Machol. He says as follows, that as distinct from a carbon Pesach, which we're going to learn when we get to that Mishnah, later this week in Meretz Hashem, that is eaten, has to be eaten roasted. So therefore, by these karbanos, it wanted to tell us that it can be eaten in any fashion, in any preparation of any fashion. It's only the carbon Pesach that needed to be prepared in a specific fashion. Liyom v'layla, that he can eat it during the day that the carbon is brought v'layla and that night ad chatzos. Okay, so a few things going on here. So Rashi says ubekachim layla holach achar yom dechsev leyaniach mimenu ad boker. So he says, first of all, we're used to the idea in Judaism that the day follows the night. So therefore, you know, But here, by karbanas, since it refers to that you eat the karban on the day you bring it, and you cannot leave over until boker, so you see that as relates to kachim, at least in this sense, the night follows the day. So you have one day to eat the karban, that's the daytime that it was brought, as well as the night that follows. And obviously for karbanas that are eaten 2 days and one night, you'd continue a day, but we're referring here to a chatas. In any event, and the Gemara says, it's interesting because the psukim say you shouldn't leave it over until the boker, but our Mishnah says ad chatzos, so this brings to mind, as Rashi points out, the beginning Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, which talks about Kriya Shema not being past chatzos, but then brings kol nechon liom echad, and as well, as examples of something where they made a siyag, protective measure so that people shouldn't come to eat nosar, shouldn't come to eat something that was left over beyond its time, they said that you should stop eating it at chatzos. Okay, so that finishes our Mishnah. So the question, Gemara says, Hechi Avid, exactly how did he do these applications? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Chadamer, Nosein, Ama Eilech, Va'ama Eilech. So basically, according to one opinion, that when the question was, when you're putting this blood on the corners, exactly what constitutes a corner? So we say it means from the corner point, you could go an Amma this way or an Amma this way, and that is an okay place to apply the blood that has to be applied on the corner. So that's one view. Echad Amar, Mechate ve'yored keneged chudo shel keren. That when he would do the application or the sprinkling, he would basically, and we'll get into this in more detail, he would go down on the actual right angle, on the corner. If he wants to do it somewhere other than on the Karen itself, according to the way most people understand, the Karen itself, you could do what you want. But if you're going to go on the part that's beneath that Amma by Amma area, then you have to go on the actual corner. Why? As Rashi points out, because the Karen, the Pasuk says Karen, so that's obviously you could do that whole Amma by Amma. But in other words, once you get beneath that, what makes it the Karen? It's no longer that horn. So therefore, Karen also can mean corner. So if you're not putting it on the actual Amma by Amma thing, then you have to put it on the corner, because then it still qualifies as a Karen. Okay, so the Gemara says, Aliba de Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, de Amar hi atma in anasis ela begufo shel Karen, de kuli Amma lo pligi. So he says as follows, according to Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, who we're going to see shortly, is of the opinion that when you apply the dam, that you have to put it on the actual corner, that Amma by Amma protuberance, the thing that sticks out there. So then, no one's arguing whether you have to do it on the actual right angle or on the sides, the Amma by Amma, because that everyone agrees that's as long as you're putting it on the actual Karen, you're fine. Ki pligi, when do they argue about whether you need to be on that 90-degree angle versus whether you could go in Amma in either direction? Aliba de Rebbe. According to Rebbe, and we're going to see later, that Rebbe holds that you can apply it not just on the actual Amma by Amma Karen, the horn, but actually you could go further down on the Mizbeach. According to Rebbe's view that you can go further down, that's where they argue. Marsav or Amma Eilech, Amma Eilech. One says, as long as you're within an Amma of the corner, okay, now we've moved from the horn to the corner, as long as you're within an Amma of the corner, then you're fine. Kineged Karen, opposite the Karen, meaning going down from the Karen. Kineged Karen, who it is opposite from the Karen. Umar Savar, and one holds that once you're going beneath the actual horn or the protuberance there, Kineged Chuda in Tfei Lo. If you're going along its the right angle, so as I said before, that would be, it switches from horn to corner, but then that's fine. But if you go beyond the corner already, what justification do you have to call that Karen? Okay, so we're saying, according to the view that you put it on the actual horn, you could put it anywhere. According to the view that you could go further down on the Mizbeach, then the question becomes, do you have to do it on the actual corner, or can you go and I'm on either side? So the Gemara says, Meisvei, I'll ask you a question, which seems to, okay, we'll see. Chatos, Hatzibor, Vayachid, Ketzan, Matan, Daman. So when you have these Chatos, Hatzibor, and Yachid, which we're talking about here in our Mishnah, how would you apply the Dam? Hayaola lakevesh, he would go up on the ramp, ufana la sovev, and he would turn onto the sovev, which is this thing we talked about, that one Amma ledge that you could walk around. Ubalo la Karen Dromis Mizrachis, he would come to the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, the Tovo Baetzpo Haimanis, and he would dip his right finger into the dam. Hamiumenes Shebiyamin, the Miumenes Shebiyamin, which Rashi points out, is Etzba Haragilul Malacha. We're talking about the finger that you most use. And Rashi says, he says that Hainu She'etzel Godo. This is the finger next to your thumb. So your forefinger, you take the forefinger, Haimiumenes Shebiyamin, Min Adam, you would take from the blood Shebi Mizrak that was in this container. V'chomer begodlo momalo betzbo katana momata. So basically, he would do something like this. He would have blood on his finger, and he would take two of his fingers, and he would squeeze it, the blood, forward. Why? So that the blood would end up on the tip of his finger. Because what does he have to do? He has to apply it. So you would basically squeeze the blood down to the bottom of his finger. U'mechata v'yorg kinegechuda shel keren. And he would apply it. He would apply it on the edge of the corner, until he's taken all the blood from his finger and put it onto this corner of the Mizbeach. So, and so should he do to every corner, because this was describing the southeastern corner, he should do on each of the other three corners. So what's the question? The question is, the Braisa seems pretty clear, that where does he take his finger and apply that dam? On the actual corner itself. So this seems to support the view that it has to be on the corner itself once you get beneath the Karen, and it does not support the view that you could go in Amma in either direction from the corner. So the Gemara says, Hachikamar mitzvah b'chudo, that it's true. In an ideal fashion, if you're not going on the Karen itself, you should try to go on the actual 90-degree angle on the corner. Yavid Amma Eilech, v'Amma Eilech Leslamba. But if you go, as long as you're within an Amma of the corner, either direction, you're fine, you're covered, it's not the ideal, but it's not a problem. Okay. So now, we reference the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon, that Rebbe is the one who said you can go off that you don't have to be just on those little Amma by Amma, protuberances, and Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon said you have to be right there. So where do we see that machlokas? My Rebbe and my Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. The Sanya, we learned in a Braisa. Damim ha'el yonim nitanin michuta sikra ulamala. He says that upper bloods were put from the chuta sikra and above. Now we're going to see, and as we've been talking about this chuta sikra, this red line for a while, we're actually going to get today to understanding where was that chuta sikra, exactly what its function was, but basically upper bloods would go above the chuta sikra, the red line, damim hatachtonim nitanim michuta sikra lamaton. Whereas bloods that had to be applied to the lower part of the mizbeach, which was anything other than a chatas or an olas ha'ov, that would be beneath the chuta sikra. Divrei Rabbi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, b'medvar mamurim. He says, when does it say that bloods that have to go above, that bloods that have to be on the upper part of the Mizbeach go anywhere above the Chut HaSikra? He says that's by Olas HaOf. Because remember, there's only two things that go above on the upper part of the Mizbeach, the Olas HaOf and the Chata. So he's saying, yes, that works by the Olas HaOf. As long as you're above the Chut HaSikra, you're good. Avo b'chatas behema, hi atzma ina nasis ela agufa shel keren. So according to this view, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, that Olas HaOv can be anywhere above the line, but a chatas, a behema chatas, has to be on that actual amma by amma protuberance. Okay, Amar Rebbe Avov, my time of the Rebbe. So now Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, it's very simple to understand because the pasuk says you should apply the blood to the keren. The keren is obviously that amma by amma thing on the corner. So there's no question why he says that. The question is, why does Rebbe allow you to apply it anywhere else? So d'chsiv, because it's written, a pasuk in Yecheskel, it says, v'haharel arba amos, u'me'ahariel ulumala hakronos arba. So it says, the harel was dalet amos, was four amos, and from the ariel and above, there were four kronos. Okay, but what we're going to focus on is this first part of the pasuk. The harel was obviously something to do here with the mizbeach, because we talk about the four corners, and it says that it's four amos. And the Gemara asks, Arba Amos Hudahave. So he says, what on the Mizbeach? Nothing about the dimensions of the Mizbeach talks about anything that's four Amos. So what is it referring to, this Pasuk in Yechezkel, when it says four Amos? Rav Adar Bar Ava says, Umekoyim Kronos Arba. He says that the area, or the part of the Kronos are four. So he's saying that's the dimension of the Kronos. So the Gemara says, Makam Kronos Dalet Have? Is it really four? Now let's think about this. This is a challenging question for us, because if I were to ask you how much area is the Kronos, you would tell me there are four Amos, because each one is an Amos square, and there's four of them, so it's four Amos. But that's not how the Torah gives the measurements, and when we're discussing this, it's not giving its area, it's giving its dimensions, really. So if you think about it, if you took all the Kronos together, the four Kronos together, what would it be? It would be two by two. It would be considered a Beis Amos. So what does it mean that the space or the area of the Kronos are Dalid? Ela'ema Rishus Kronos Dalid. So rather, what is it that's four Amos? Is the domain of the Kronos. So how do we understand this now? So this means that obviously you could put the blood on the horn itself, on that Amma by Amma. But additionally, you could go down three more Amas from the Keren. So therefore, the surface on either side that you're entitled or allowed to put the blood is four Amas. So on the actual horn itself, and then three Amas beneath it, which basically carries you to the Sovev, to the point that the Kohen used to walk around. Now, interestingly, it seems from this that when we say you apply the blood above the Chut HaSikra is one Amma, we're going to get to it in a minute, but is one Amma beneath the Sovev. So it means actually there's only four Ammas that you can apply the Chatas blood, as it relates to the Olas HaOf, that would go from the Chut HaSikra and above. But in any event, this is Rebbe's source for the idea that you don't need to apply the blood onto the Amma by Amma horn itself, is because we have this pasuk that talks about four Amas, and it's telling you that the Rishus, the domain of the horn, extends down a full four Amas. It's one Amma as well as three Amas beneath that take you to the point of the Sovev, and that's why Rebbe's of the opinion that you can apply it on any of those areas. Okay. Tanan Hasam. So now we've been talking about this Chut HaSikra, this red line, and let's talk about it. What is it? So we say, we learned in a Mishnah there, and I think Midos, says Chut Shel Sikra, that this red line, Chogro Be'emtza, was basically Chogro is like a belt. It like encircled it on the middle of the Mizbeach. Lahavdil Ben Damim Ha'Elyonim L'Damim HaTachtonim. So the point of this red line, as we've been discussing, most karbanos are beneath the red line, the olas ha'of and the chatas are above the red line, so that was the purpose of the red line, to tell you that this is the midpoint. So the Gemara says, Minan Emili, how do I know that, I mean, even though it's sort of intuitive to say that it should be halfway up, but how do I know? How do I know above means from there and beneath means, that it's evenly up? Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Ketina, Rav Acha bar Rav Ketina says, Shenemar, the pasuk says, V'hoysa ha'reshes ar chatzi ha'mizbeach. So he says that in the mizbeach that they had in the Mishkan, so there was a reshes. A reshes was like a screen or something like that, that would be at the half point of the mizbeach. A little bit unclear whether it was above or beneath the half point, but clearly from the pasuk, it was dividing at the half point of the mizbeach. So we say, HaTorah nitna mechitza lahavdil ben damim elyonim damim atachtonim, from the fact that the Torah was very specific in setting forth an implement, something that was on the Mizbeach that was precisely at its half point, we understand from there that the Torah was trying to create a mechitza, a delineation. What would be the point of creating a delineation right in the middle of the Mizbeach? Is so that you should know where is the top and where is the bottom, because the Olas HaOf and the Chatas needs to be above, and everything else needs to be beneath. Okay, continues the Gemara. Shiare Adam, that he would take the the leftover blood after he applied the blood on the chatas, and he would pour it on the yesod, on this base, that amma by amma base we've been talking about. And we said here that he would pour it, in the Mishnah, we said he would pour it onto the southern base. So Tana Rabbanan, a yesod mizbeach, that when he would put it to the base, to the yesod of the mizbeach, ze yesod dromi. This is the southern, part of the yesod. So the Gemara says, the Baisa says, Ata Omer ze yesod dromi, oh, eno ela yesod my ravi, v'yelamit sasam in a mefurish. So he says, why is it the southern one? Maybe it should be the western one. Why should it be the western one? Because we'll remember that we had this discussion that when the Kohen would come out of the Heichal and he'd be holding the blood that he had applied on the inner Mizbeach for the Chatas Pnimios, for the inner Karbanos, and what did we say? We said that the Pasuk tells you, Asher Pesach Ol Moed, that he's going to pour it out at the Pesach Ol Moed, and we discussed it that which is the wall of the Mizbeach that he first encounters, the western wall, because the Mizbeach, when you're coming in from the east, you encountered the Mizbeach, then you went over the Mizbeach, or past the Mizbeach, and then you would go into the Heichal. So when you come out of the Heichal, the first thing you would encounter is the western side of the Mizbeach. And we had this discussion about Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvos, whichever is the first thing you encounter, that's where you should do the Mitzvah. But therefore, the Mishnah is saying, so if I have a chatas, which tells me that I need to put the blood, which I learn out that you need to put the blood on the yesod, right? So then the question is, but it doesn't tell us where on the yesod. So since I know that as relates to chatas panimias, the karbanas that were brought inside the heichal, that where did it get poured? It got poured on the western base. So therefore, it says, yilmad sasum and amafurish. So it's unclear, it's sasum, it's hidden, it's locked to us as to where a regular chatas should get poured, but it's clear to us, it's mufurish, that where did the inner chatas get poured was on the western base of the outer mizbeach, so why not also put the regular chatas? Learn what you don't know from what you do know, and instead of putting it in the southern base, instead put it in the western base. So the Gemara said, no. Amritz yilamed yiridasum in akevesh litziyasum in ahechol. He says, we're going to learn a concept from what we know. In a certain sense, we're going to learn what is hidden from what is revealed, but not in the sense that we're going to therefore put it in the west, but rather that his coming down from the ramp should be just like his coming out of the heichal. My yitziyasam and amehechal besamachlo, afiridasam and akevesh besamachlo. So just like when he's coming out of the inner, out of the heichal, with the blood from the inner chatas, what's the first thing he encounters? Is the western base, and he pours it there. So when you see, what do you see from the example of what's known of the inner chatas? You see that as soon as you encounter a yesod, then you should pour it there. So therefore, as applying that to the outer mizbeach, remember, he goes up the ramp, he makes his way all around the mizbeach, and he comes back down the ramp. So where is he then? He's on the southern base of the ramp. So if he's now gonna go, he's gonna U-turn and go back down off of the ramp and go to the yesod, what's the first part of the mizbeach that he encounters? Is the southern wall of the mizbeach. So he pours it there. So therefore, we're saying it is true we learn from the inner chatas as to where to apply the dam, but we don't learn just like the inner chatas is on the west, so to a regular chatas is on the west. Rather, we say just like an inner chatas gets poured at the first part of the mizbeach that you encounter, so too the regular chatas gets poured at the first part of the mizbeach that you encounter, which unlike the inner chatas, when you have an outer chatas, the first part you encounter is the southern wall of the mizbeach, and that's the reason why the Mishnah tells you to apply it to the southern yesod. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Amar, so now we're going to bring Tanayim, who learned differently. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Zevezeh Yesod Maravi. So this is really our brisa that we brought before. It's Havamina, its initial thought was, just like the inner chatas gets poured at the west, so too the outer chatas. And in fact, Rabbi Shmuel is of that opinion, that both an inner chatas and an outer chatas gets poured on the western yesod. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Amr, he says, Zevzeh yesod dromi. He says, not only does the outer chatas get poured on the southern yesod, but so does the inner chatas. So he's arguing on what we learned the other day, which said that you encounter it and you pour it in the western. So the Gemara says, "Bishlam alamandamer yisod my ravi kasavar yilmud sasim and amafurish." He says, I understand the one who says that it's both the West, because like the Hava Mina of the Braisa we initially brought, he says, let me learn from what I know to what I don't know. I know that a Chatas Pinimius goes on the West. I don't know where a Chatas Chitzonius goes, so I'll do that also on the West. So that part makes sense. El Elamanda Amar Yisod Dromi, my Taima. But what's the reason that, according to the one who says that they both put it on the southern Yisod, he says, what's the rationale for that? We had a Pasuk that told you by the inner Chatas, Asher Pesach Olmoid, that you pour it on the Mizbeach, that's by the Pesach Olmoid. By the Pesach Olmoid, we said, was the western part of the Mizbeach. So what's the rationale of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Ben Yochai, to say that you should put everything, both inner and outer Chatos, on the southern Yisod? Reb Asi, Kasavar Haitana, Kulam Mizbeach Betzafon Koi. So he says, this Tana is of the opinion that the entire Mizbeach was in the north. Lashon Acher, or Lashon Acherino, another language, Kule Pesach Bedarim Koi. This is really saying, at least according to one opinion in Rashi, saying the same thing. It's saying that the entire doorway of the Heichal was in the southern part of the south. Okay, so how are we understanding this? On a simple level, the way, and this is where the two Lashonos are really the same, would be the following. If you had the coming out of the Heichal over here, right? So the Mizbeach would start right there. So therefore, and there was a machlokas about where the Mizbeach was, but if that's true, when you come out, the top level of the door coming out of the Heichal would be on the same plane, the same line as the southern base of the Mizbeach. So if that's so, in other words, if from the top of the entrance to the southern base of the Mizbeach was a straight line, so then when you come out, we were assuming all along that when you come out of the Heichal, and it tells you Asher, that you should pour it on the Mizbeach, Asher Pesach Olmoid, that's the western thing. That's only true according to the opinion that when you walked out of the Heichal, you hit the Mizbeach, in which case, what would you hit? You would hit the western part. But if you understand that the Mizbeach only started at the line that is the top of the door, so then when you walk out of the Heichal, what's the first thing you encounter? You basically encounter the southwestern corner. So you really could do it on the western side or the southern side. And we say that, so according to this opinion, you would do it on the southern side. So therefore, we always assume that the first thing you encounter is the west. That's why we assume an inner chatas goes on the west. We're saying, no, I agree with the pasuk that says that you should do it asher Pesach Olmoid. But what was it that was Pesach Olmoid? Was the southern wall. And therefore you did it on the southern Yisod. And therefore, once I learned from the pasuk by inner chatas that you put it on the southern wall, so then yilamed that you're going to learn sasam and amafurish, you're going to learn what do you do with the outer chatas from that which you do with the inner chatas, and therefore both go on the southern wall. That is the one opinion in Rashi. The other opinion in Rashi explains the first lashon as being that the Mizbeach started from the midpoint of the opening. So basically, that the midpoint of the that we're looking at was right in the center of the opening to the Heichal. So therefore, and it's really the same thing, but when you would come out of the Heichal, generally speaking, someone walks through the middle of an opening. So if you walk through the middle of the opening, what's the first thing you hit? Is the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, and therefore you would pour it on the south. So it's really saying the same thing, but just depending how you understand what, according to the view that the Mizbeach was situated there, was it situated on the midpoint of the entry, and that's where a person walks out, or was it situated at the equal distance, at the same line as the top of the entrance, and therefore the only thing you can encounter when you come out is the southwestern corner. Okay, so with that, we are now on Amud Beis, Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Tanu Beri Rishmak Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. So he says that in the Tanu Beri Rabbi Shmuel they learned that Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai said Omrim. They said Zev Zeh Yisod Maravi. He said basically what they're saying is that in Tanu Beri Rabbi Shmuel they quoted a brisa from Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai saying both are in the west. Now we had Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai saying that it was in the south, and he was arguing with Rabbi Shmuel. The simanech mashu gavre legavra, that the plural men, or the plural people, meaning the Tana Debate Rabbi Shmuel, the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel, dragged, mashku, they pulled Lagavra to the person, to Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So according to this version, that Rav Shimon ben Yochai actually agreed with Rabbi Shmuel, in which case, that everyone would agree that it was, that the first thing they encountered was the West, and that both the inner chatas and the outer chatas would be poured on the Western Yesod. Okay, so that, with that, we now have completed the Mishnah about chatas. Okay, next Mishnah. Ha'ola kadoshei kadoshim. The ola is kadoshei kadoshim, we've talked about there's kadoshim kalos and kadoshei kadoshim, so kadoshei kadoshim, it's actually interesting, Rashi says, kadoshei kadoshim hili paso b'yotze, basically, as soon as something becomes designated for kachim kachim, even before it's shechted, you would be chayav if you take it out. But tful yom over mechusim kipurim. I'm sorry. Biyotze is if you take it out. Tful yom mechusim kipurim. We'll talk about that in a second. Umo'alimbo, and you also have meila in it even before it's shechted. So therefore, these are the things that define something being kachim kachim. Tosas in the Kadshei Kadoshim says, Perish Bekunshus, Li Pasol, Biyotze, Betvul Yom, Umolim Bo. He says, Vole Hayo, Lefarish, Lingin, Tvul Yom, Umchusi Kippurim, Shazad, Din, Noig, Bechol, Kadshim, Afil Kalim. He says, I don't know why Rashi listed a Tvul Yom and Umchusi Kippurim, because those are also features of Kadshim Kalim. He says, Eliyotze, Me'ila, Nicha, the Kadshim Kalim, Loi Mifsali, Biyotze, Ve'en, Behem, Me'ila. So he says, because Kadshim Kalim, are in fact, he agrees that they have a different din in terms of coming out and a different din in terms of me'ilah. But in any event, this is what defines kadoshei kadoshim. So we say ha'ola kadoshei kadoshim. The ola is kadoshei kadoshim. The Gemara will ask why specifically by ola it tells us that it's kadoshei kadoshim. It didn't tell us that by chatas, and we didn't learn it by asham, which are also kadoshei kadoshim. But in any event, shchitasa betzafon mekibol damos lishayis betzafon. So as we learned out before, to all the karbanos that the shchita is in the north. And the acceptance of the blood is in the north. The dama tain shtema tanashen arba. And much like, he said, unlike a chatas, which had to be put on each of the four individual horns or on the piece beneath the four horns, here you have this application that we've talked about a number of times where you would put two applications that are four. Okay, and continuing with the halachas of olav tuuna, hefshet vinituach. And you need hefshet is to take off the skin or the hide of the animal. Nituach is to cut it up into pieces. The kalil ishim and a ola is fully burned up. Rashi gives a lot of detail to describe something that I've described to you before, which is simply that if you're doing two applications that are four, the only way to do that is if you put it on one application on the southwestern corner and one application on the northeastern corner. Why? Because if you're trying to get all four sides in two applications, you obviously need to be on opposite corners, because diagonally opposite corners, because otherwise, if, let's say, you did it on, Rashi points out, if you did it on just two corners that are on the same plane, let's say you did it on the southwestern and the northwestern, what's going to happen is that you're only going to be covering three walls, because you're going to have something along the southern wall, something along the western, and something along the northern. But there's nothing touching the eastern. So since you need saviv, you need all four. So therefore, obviously it needs to be on opposite diagonals. So therefore, you have a choice. You could go like this, you could go like that. And since we learned yesterday that you have and the day before, that you have a kavachomer that teaches you that in an ola, you need to put the blood above the yesod. So then obviously, because there was no yesod in the southeastern corner, you have to do it from the southwestern and the northeastern. That's where you would put these applications. Okay, says the Gemara. Ola maitaima. I'm sorry, maitaima tani le kadoshei kadoshim. He says, why did you have to learn kadoshei kadoshim? You didn't learn it elsewhere. Mishum d'laksiv ba kadoshei kadoshim hu hi. Because unlike achatas in Hashem, which said specifically in the pasuk that it's kadosh kadoshim, then here it didn't teach it. Now Rashi says, okay, how do I know that it's kadoshei kadoshim? So if we take a look at Rashi, mishum d'lok sivba, he says, istrich lashminon dafilu hachi kadoshei kadoshim hi.
the Mishnah needed to tell us that even though it doesn't say it in the pasuk, these are still kachay kachim. Why? The hakulu legvoa ve'en lecha kachay kachim kazeh. He says because the whole ola got burnt on the mizbeach, and that should for sure make it kachay kachim. Ubekachim kalim gufayu my the other minayu legvoa kachay kachim who? He says, how do I know that? Because even when I have kachay kachim kalim, and I take out the emurim. So most of kachim kalim are eaten by someone. But in other words, when I take out the emurim, because they're going on the mizbeach, become kachay kadoshim. Kedisnan lekamim perkat tadir, meiser kodim laofos mifneshu min zevach, v'yesh bo kachay kachim damo ve'emurim. It talks about when you have meiser and ofos, it says that you would first do the meiser. Why? Because it's a form of carbon, and therefore it has in it kachay kadoshim, i.e. it's dam, it's blood, and it's emurim. So you see that the emurim, once they get pulled out of an animal that's kachay kalim, because it goes on the mizbeach, it makes those emurim kachay kachim. So therefore, Rashi says, if you have an ola that the entire thing is burned on the mizbeach, then obviously that should be kachay kachim. Okay, so now Tosas talks about something, which is, why didn't we talk about pouring out... You know what? Forget it. I mentioned this yesterday. That was the Rabbeinu Moshe, the Reb Moshe that we talked about in the Machlokas, Rashi and Tosas, which is comes from this Tosas over here, about whether you're supposed to save blood in order to make sure you have enough blood to pour out on the Shirayim. Maybe if we have a minute at the end, we'll try it. Okay. Ola, so the Gemara says, V'damash tayin shtei matanos. This is the, we've talked about this, the two applications that create four. But now we're going to see some more detail. Hechi of it. Exactly how would he do this? Amar Rav, nosein v'chozav nosein. So this is a view that we're not familiar with. So Rav says, how would you do it in these two corners you have to put the blood? You would go, let's say you're on the southwestern corner, you would put some blood on the south corner of the southwestern corner, and then you would put some on the western corner of the southwestern corner. I.e., you have two applications on the southwestern corner and two applications on the northeastern corner. So it's still two general applications because you're doing it in each corner, but each time you're doing separate application. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Matana achas kimin gama. So he says that Shmuel says you do one matana like a gama. Now for those who didn't pledge fraternity, Rashi is helpful to tell us that gama, being the Greek letter, looks like a chaf pshuta. It goes like this. So basically, it's a right angle. So he says, and this is what we're familiar with, is the idea that you would splash the blood on that right angle, which in turn would spread onto both sides. Okay. Kimin gama nosin, he would do it like a gama. Kitanoi, this is like, we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel who are Amorayim, but this is like a machlokas Tanayim. That is follows, we learned in a brisa, yachol yizur kenazrika achas. Okay, so we know that you need a sprinkle the blood of a ola. Maybe you should only do one application, and that's enough. Tamalom or saviv. It says saviv. And so that means you have to be around the mizbeach. So it's not enough to do one application. So the Gemara says, all right, so if it has to be all around the mizbeach, is saviv, yachol yakifenu kechut. He says, maybe I would think that you have to take your finger and go all the way maybe you have to put it all the way around the mizbeach so that you have saviv. Tamulam or vizarku. It tells you that you have to sprinkle it. Now, if you're sprinkling the blood, short of taking your finger and going around it, you have no way to create an absolute line around the mizbeach. Because you're gonna sprinkle, there are gonna be some openings or lines. So haketzat, so therefore, how do you get it on saviv, if you're throwing it and you're not using your finger, haketzah kimin gama, that you would do it like on the corner, and therefore you would do two applications on each corner, they would spread to the sides, and you accomplish saviv not by having blood all the way around the mizbeach like a belt, but rather all four sides of the mizbeach. Okay, kimin gama shtei matanah shein arba. That's two matanas that are like four. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Rabbi Shmuel says, nemar kan saviv, v'nemar lahalan saviv. He says that it says here saviv, and it says further, it says, vayishchat, vayikach Moshe sadam, vayiten alkarnas amizbech, saviv be'atzbo, vayichates amizbech, v'sadam, yatzak ha'yisod amizbech, v'kadsheyu l'chaper alav. So this is talking about that by the Chanukah of the Mishkan, that Moshe he put something on all four corners of the mizbeach, and so what you see is that there's a gzera shava between here where it says saviv that you put the blood all around, and there by Moshe Rabbeinu where it says saviv that you put it all around. Malahalam pisuk v'arba matanos
Afkam pisuk v'arba matanas. So just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he did it, where he did it on the four corners, on the four kronos, on the horns, obviously that was four separate applications. So too here that we have to do, four separate applications. Now, obviously, we're only doing it on two, but Rabbi Shmuel's view supports the idea that when you're at the southwestern corner, for example, you have to sprinkle on the southern part of the southwestern corner, and you have to sprinkle on the western part of the southwestern corner. So you see this idea by Pisuk Abra Matana, that you have four separated applications, so even though you're only doing it in two diagonally opposite corners, but you're doing four actual applications. Imala halon abra matanas al abra kronos afkan abra matanas al abra kronos. He says, wait a second. So he says, if you're learning from the Gzeir Shava between Ola and Moshe Rabbeinu, what he did over there, so maybe you should say we should learn that an Ola requires four actual applications on each of the corners. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu did it, he didn't do it two corners, that's four. So we say, Ola tuna yesod. V'keren mizrachis dromis lo hayala yesod. So this is good. So he says, I would, in theory, learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that by an Ola, I also need to put it on all four corners. But we learned yesterday by Kavah Chomer that you only put an Ola where there's a Yesod. So we're stuck. How do you get four applications, but they're all above the Yesod? The only way to do it is by putting the Matnas Shtayim Shein Arba, that you put it on each side of the two diagonally opposite corners. Okay, so now we've been talking all along about this concept that there was no Yesod on the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. So now the Gemara is going to talk about it. My time, what's the reason that there was no southeastern Yesod? Amar Rav Elazar lefish lo hasa b'chelko shel toref. He says, because basically, the entire Mizbeach needed to be in the chelek of Shevet Binyamin. And this portion along, other than the Amma at the edges, the portion of the southern part of the Mizbeach and the eastern part of the Mizbeach was not in the Chelek of Binyamin, it was in the Chelek of Yehuda. So basically the Mizbeach was put in such a place where if you would put a Sovev there, then you would be encroaching on the territory of Yehuda, and the Mizbeach is supposed to be entirely in the territory of Binyamin. We'll see there's maybe different ways of understanding this, but roughly like that. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Mizbeach ochel b'chelko shel Yehuda Amma. That the Mizbeach eats into the Chelek of Yehuda Amma. So now the idea here is either it's possible it did, but the way we're learning is it didn't. So it just means that because if you made the Mizbeach a full 32 by 32, you would end up eating into a little bit of the Chelek of Yehuda. So therefore, that piece of the Mizbeach was cut out so that you're not into the Chelek of Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Levi bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina says, Ritzua haisa yotza mechelko she Yehuda v'nechnesa mechelko she Binyamin. That basically, and now this again, Machloka is exactly how to understand it, but let's just understand it, that pretty much the Mizbeach, the eastern part of the Mizbeach was the divider between the Chelek of Yehuda, which was to the east, and the Chelek of Binyamin, which was to the west. But there was a Ritzua, there was a line that went in from the east, going westward, which would pick up the southern portion of the Mizbeach. Binyamin, this bothered him a lot that there was a piece of that he didn't have. Shenemer, as it says, the way we're darshaning this a little homiletically to say that chofef, Rashi says, is like a person who's rubbing. Why does he do that? He's thinking about something that's bothering him. He says that it bothered Binyamin that there was a piece of the area designated for the Mizbeach that wasn't his. Lefikach zocha Binyamin atzadik v'nasa ushbizchan l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, the Gemara is saying this was a good thing, that it bothered Binyamin that he couldn't have the entirety of the Mizbeach in his chelek, and because of that, he was zocha that he was the host to the Rabbanu Shalom Shenemar, as it says, Ubenk Seif of Shachain, that between his shoulders the Rabbanu Shalom resided, is the idea that the Kodesh Kadashim and the main parts of the Beis HaMikdash were in the Chelek of Binyamin, because he had that schus, because it bothered him that he didn't have all of the Mizbeach in his thing. But the basic idea, the reason there's no southeastern corner is because the southeastern corner was in the Chelek of Yehuda, and the Mizbeach had to be in the Chelek of Binyamin.